If you have your Bibles open, I pray you do, follow along. We'll be in 1 John chapter 5. We're continuing our study through 1 John. I titled the lesson this morning, The Born of God, and it struck me as I was driving in the wee hours, I thought, you know, people may be thinking I have a Christmas sermon, The Born of God, and I thought, well, it could be that, but it's not. And you'll see that. The Born of God taken out of 1 John 5, 1 through 5. And I want to begin, and I want you to note that this letter that John has written, there were three tests that someone in Jesus could take to find out, are you really in fellowship with the Lord? And test number one that he gave was the test of practicing righteousness. You've got to walk in light. He gave test number two is that you have to love the truth. You've got to be a truth seeker. And test number three, you have to love your brother. Those were the three tests of fellowship. Well, there's also three pillars or foundations that stand for people to realize you're in fellowship with God. That means you're born of God. How do you know that you're really born of God? Well, you know, it goes hand in hand with being in fellowship with God, but there's three foundations, there's three pillars that John gives us, and I'm going to point those out, and they're going to be real similar to the test of fellowship. If you'll back up with me into chapter 2, verse 29, We'll see the first foundation, the first pillar that's given. In 1 John 2:29, he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Test one, or pillar one, foundation one, you must practice righteousness, the righteousness of God. Now that goes along with the fellowship of God. The righteousness of God is a pillar. It's a foundation that those are born of God when they keep God's righteousness. Now when we define the term, the righteousness of God, sometimes we get a little caught up but righteousness has with it the moral character, and it also has with it holiness, purity. You and I have got to be striving for holiness or purity. Those born of God, that's one of the foundations in their life. They're concerned about purity of living. Look down at chapter 3 real quick and verse 3, and you'll see this principle in righteousness. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. When you're looking to Jesus, and if your hope is in Jesus, you will be a person that purifies yourself. You'll get away from things, habits that are bad, things that are impure. You won't go after those things that are impure. And so purity is part of it. The righteousness of God is a pillar that's intact. You doing the right thing. Well, look in chapter 3 here. Look down at verse 9. He says, no one who's born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. No one who's born of God, what? Practices sin. We're talking practice. We're talking as a habit. We're talking about overcoming things in your life. We're not talking about accidental. John dealt with accidental sin in chapter 2, the first two verses. What do? Well, you've got an advocate. Here we're talking about anyone that is born of God does not practice sin in their life. They don't do it. Why? Because being born of God, that means God's seed's in you. You're now of that family. And so therefore, you practice righteousness. So the first foundation, the first pillar, is making sure you are practicing the righteousness of God. That is a sign, that is the foundation that you've been born of God. Foundation number two is found over in chapter 4. Look at verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Foundation two, pillar number two, you love your brother. And I've been trying to make it very clear in church. People don't listen. We're talking about sacrificial love. We're not talking about a touchy-feely love. We're not talking about feel good. We're talking about a love that sacrifices. When you sacrificially love your brother, you're born of God, because you're doing to your brother what God's done to your brother. You're laying your life down. You're sacrificing for what they need. And he said, and everyone who loves is born of God. Come down to verse 10 of chapter 4. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is love. You want to define love? Here's love of God. It didn't start with us. It started with God sending His Son as a sacrifice, as a ransom, as a propitiation. Big word. He ransomed us. There was a price to pay because sin is costly. And so God, what kind of love was He getting from us? Well, we sure didn't give God a whole lot of love. We sure wouldn't sacrifice anything for God before we came into it. But you know what? God says, I sacrificed for you. And I sent my Son, even when you were dead in your sin. And people that sacrifice for their brethren in the same way, that's the love He's driving for. And people who sacrifice that away, they have been born of God, His seed's in them. The third pillar, the third foundation, is found in chapter 5, verse 1. And He says here, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. The third foundation, the third pillar, is the ones who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Well, we got to talk about that one this morning. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, we look at this verse, and we look around us today and we say, well, the majority of the religious world believes, or a lot, I won't say the majority, a lot of the religious world believes Jesus is the Christ. They do that. Is that what He's talking about? That how do you identify one born of God, that they believe that Jesus is a Christ? Well, there's people running around all over this town saying they believe that Jesus is the Christ. Well, I want you to note one thing. John is not writing to people how to become Christians. He's writing to people who are already in Christ, not to come into Christ. And many people use verses just like this to show, here's how you know you've been born of God. This is the new birth that we have, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you will believe in all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, you will be saved. John's not saying that. And you say, well, how do you know it? One word. I don't even have to get into any discussion about Greek. You don't need to know it. One word. Believes. You notice on the end of that word, believe, there's an S? Well, there's a reason there's an S on it. And it's just like the same word in that verse 1. Whoever loves, there's an S on loves. That's not a one-time act to be saved. That is a continuation from something of your past, and you continue in it today. Will you? whoever continues their belief that Jesus is the Christ, whoever continues to believe or to love the Father, those are the ones that's born of God. Jesus, or John is writing to you and I in Jesus. We've already responded to the gospel call. And so John's saying, you've got to have a standard out here to show who are the people of God. Why is this so confusing? Well, come back with me to chapter 2, verse 29. Look at chapter 2, verse 29. How about 19? That works a little better for me. Chapter 2, verse 19. John writes, they went out from us, but they were really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. What's happened back here at the time of the writing of this letter? There was just one church. It was the true church. In the church, there have been people who have left it. And John said, they've left us, us being the apostles and their teachings. They've left us. And John said, you know what? They would have never left us if they had really been a part of us. And they have left us and they've gone out into the world and they're preaching other things about Jesus that the apostles did not preach. And so John, when he writes this letter, he's got to say, you got to figure out. You need to know those that are born of God. You need to know how you can tell they're born of God. And they're not born of God if they've left us. Anybody that leaves the teachings of the apostles, anybody that forsakes the Word of God as spoken in truth, as taught in truth, as those apostles inscribed for us, they are not part of us. But those who continue to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and those who continue to love the brethren, those are the ones born of God. And so John's trying to get us to focus and say, this is the ones that are born of God. You can't leave the church nor the teaching of the apostles and come out in fellowship with God. And we look at our day and time. You look in the so-called Christian community in our day and time. Everyone's talking about loving God, but when they talk about love, they always reduce love to some kind of feel-good. That's why people are attracted to feel-good stories. Feel-good, there's nothing wrong with feeling good about things. There's nothing wrong with a feel-good story. But a feel-good story does not mean you're born of God. That's what it is. It's a feel-good story. It's nothing else. There's a lot of people who do a lot of service. In the name, they say in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean they're part of God, because I can look around and I can find the Red Cross. The Red Cross practices love helping people and they do a lot of service. That's good. But that doesn't mean the Red Cross is born of God. There's something bigger at stake. There's something bigger for you and for me. Look back at chapter 5, verse 1 again. Whoever believes and keeps on believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God, and whoever loves the Father and keeps loving the Father loves the child born of Him. Question, why would anyone ever want to leave? Why would you want to leave the church? Well, I just leave for a denomination. Why would you want to leave the church of the apostles that they established? Well, they're all part. No. John said, no. Now, they went out from us to show that they're not part of us. The only way you'd have to leave is that you have to stop believing that Jesus is the Christ, and you have to stop loving your brother. That's the reason you would leave. And so John writes and he says, you know, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the anointed one of God. That's what Christ means, is the anointed, the Messiah. You keep believing. And you and I were brought to that initial belief. When we were presented the gospel came to you and you saw Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. He took my place. And He rose again. And that gospel is what I embrace. I want to be a part of Jesus. See, we saw the Messiah. We saw the anointed of God. That brought us to God initially. That brought us into salvation initially. We need to stay with it eternally and continue in that belief. Let me show you how this ties together. Hold this, we'll be right back. Come back to the book of John. Come back to his letter that he wrote, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Let me show you how this works out. John chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 11. John, as he writes this letter, he opens talking about Jesus was with God and He became flesh. And notice what he says in verse 11. He, this is about Jesus, He came to His own, and those who were His own did not recognize Him. Now, who were His own? We're talking the Jews. Jesus was sent to the house of Israel. He was sent to the Jewish nation initially. And when Jesus came to His own, the Jewish people, what did they do? He said they did not receive Him. Look at verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Carefully. I want us to get better at paying attention to the Word of God and quit paying attention to everything else. He says in verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who received Jesus did not become children of God. That's not what He says. He says to them He gave the right to become. Those that received Jesus when He walked on the face of the earth, they were given a right that somewhere down the road they were going to become children of God. And becoming children of God at some point down the road, they would be the ones that would be born of God, not of man. So when you read things like this, He gave them the right to become. They weren't children of God. But they had a right coming to them down the road because of who Jesus was being portrayed. Now as we look forward, come back to Luke 24. Now Luke 20, probably one page in your Bible, back to your left. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has been on the road to Emmaus with two people, and now He's in the presence of the 11 apostles. Judas has committed suicide. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to heaven, and He's sitting in the presence of the 11 apostles. Look at verse 45. He says, then He opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. Now that's an interesting thought. You know why people always try to search out, how are you going to understand the Bible? Well, it's going to have to take Jesus giving that ability. He opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. Verse 46. And He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ, there's that word, that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Those 11 apostles that are with him, he said, you know what the scriptures talked about the Messiah, the Christ. That he was going to die, he's going to be buried, and he's going to be raised. Well, I'm going to tell you, repentance for the forgiveness of sins was going to start being preached in the name of Jesus. And it was going to start in Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, it was going to go out into all the world. That's how it was going to begin. And you apostles are witnesses. You're my witnesses. And you need to go out there and you need to preach this. They did it. Come back one more to Mark 16, the last chapter in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 16 and Matthew 28, they end on the same notes. Mark 16. Something you know well, but I want us to see it again. In Mark 16, look at verse 15. He's talking still to these 11 that Luke addressed. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Go preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus the Messiah died and was buried and was raised on that third day. When you preach that good news, those that have believed it, they put their entrusting faith in that. When you came to Jesus and you heard the good news, did you put your faith in Him, the Messiah? If you did, faith will lead you somewhere. He said, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. It was faith that brought me to Jesus originally. It wasn't baptism. It was faith in Jesus that brought me to being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, my Messiah, that forgiveness of my sins in His name would be proclaimed, and your name too. See, that's where we began. That's where it all starts. It started with belief in the Messiah that forgave my sins, and it must be continued in. To this day, you recall the day you were baptized into Christ. Do you still believe in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the way that you believed what led you to becoming baptized into Him to begin with? And if you don't believe it, you're never going to get to any response. That's what sets the world apart from those born of God. Well, I use that to use this. Come back now to 1 John 5:1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whatever it took you initially to come to Jesus in faith, that same faith has to still be working in you now. It wasn't a one-time thing, a one-time decision. You keep it intact. And if you keep that faith intact, those are the ones that are born of God. And then He ties the love of God with it. And whoever loves the Father, continues to love the Father, loves the child born of Him. You see, my faith in Jesus, as my faith continues, my love for the people, other people that were born to God, will continue. You lose faith in Jesus the Christ, you will stop loving your brother and your sister. But you keep that intact, that's the born of God. That's how you identify them from the rest that went out from us, John said. And John was making it very clear. We're afraid today to make it clear in the church. We are afraid to make it clear that there is one standard. Because we're afraid what other people... There's a lot of good people out there. There was a lot of good people back at the time John wrote. There was a lot of good people when Jesus walked on the earth. Good people aren't going to make it. People that believe and confess and are repentant to the Messiah and put their whole trust in Him and are baptized into His name for forgiveness of sins. That's where it begins. And that's the teaching that John says we've got to continue in. That's the born of God. Well, look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. I mean, here's an assurance verse. When we love those who are tied to Jesus, when we love those who have been born of God, you know what? I am loving God and doing what God commands me to do. Yeah. Loving your brother is vital. I'm telling you, sacrificial love, not touchy-feely stuff. You know, touchy-feely stuff, I've talked on it, and I know you probably get tired of it. But I'm trying to get you to understand it's sacrificial as Jesus sacrificed for me from the love of God. Sometimes you're not crazy about somebody. But you know what? I love my God and my God loves His children. And He's invested His Son in them. Who am I not to love them? And the love of God says, keep my commandments. Love the children that are born to me. That's what I want. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now let me show you one thing, because we're going to tie this up pretty quick here. I want you to look back at chapter 2 with me. And I want you to look at verse 4 and 5, where He talks about commandments, and I want you to see the tie. Look at 2:4. The one who says, I've come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Did you get that? Excuse me. Keeping the commandments of God and keeping the word of God are one and the same. The commandments were... is God's Word. He calls them commandments in 4, in verse 5, whoever keeps His Word. When we talk about the commandments of God, we're talking about the Word of God. Holding to the Word of God. Well, coming back to chapter 5, in verse 3, by this is the love of God that we keep His commandments, we keep His Word. When Jesus walked on the earth and He sat with those disciples of His, He told them in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a love relationship. It's not a commandment relationship. It is a love relationship. This is the love of God. It's a love relationship. Look at the end of verse 3. And His commandments are not burdensome. You know what God's Word was never intended to be? A burden to us. God's Word was not intended to cause you grief. I realize that there's sometimes, and over the years, I've been in places where, I mean, you were burdened with the Word of God, and you were just clobbered with it, and beat over the head, and you gotta conform, and I mean, and it became a source of burden. That's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. That's what the Pharisees did with the people of God. You go back and read places like Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. Jesus told his disciples, oh, these scribes and Pharisees, they take heavy loads and they bind them up and they put burdens on the back of my people. And they're not even willing as a finger to lift a burden. They won't even take a finger to help. Sometimes we've been in situations where somebody just clobbers us and, boy, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to force them, you got to force them. You know what? You never find that away. You never find love. Love for God. Because you see when God, what He did for you and for me, I want to love a father like that. Some of you have grown up in a background of bad family lives. You've had horrible home lives. You got a new father. He's the eternal God. And He sacrificed His Son for you. And if I have a father like that, and we do, then we keep His commandments because we love Him. Because He's looking out for my best interests. His commandments aren't burdensome. You know, you take a kid, tell a child, go clean your room. What do you get, parents? Ugh. Yeah, you need to clean your room before you go, oh, I don't want, you know. Why does a child do that? Well, sometimes it's a commandment and it's burdensome. But what if we could develop a love relationship in our children? A while back, a couple of the grandkids out at the house, and I had a day planned. I had to work on my house. I said, hey, Grandpa's got to go clean the garage out. I didn't want to go clean the garage out. You know what their instant response was? Can we help? Yeah. Parents probably like to hear that about they don't do that at home. They wanted to help. I mean, to sweep, to clean, to go through boxes, to stack, to burn, to throw away. They wanted to help. And you know why they wanted to help? It wasn't because I grabbed them by the collar and I threatened them and I said, hey, you help or else. Can we help? There was a love relationship there. And they just want to be with you. Whatever you're doing, they just want to be part of what you're part of. That's the relationship of the love of God. His commandments aren't burdensome. Never. And we need to love God like that. He's not trying to burden us. He saved us. And now He's putting us on a better path. Here we go. And if we love God, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and His commandments aren't burdensome. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes. You've been born of God? Well, let's look at the foundations that you sit on. Whatever is born of God, whatever God is attached to in this life, anything God is attached to overcomes anything else. Period. And it overcomes anything in this world. And Jesus took His disciples aside in John chapter 16, verse 33, and He tells them, in the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And Jesus spoke those words before He went to a cross. You know what He was already anticipating? He anticipated the victory because of His love and His faith in His Father. My Father will bring me through it. My Father, He promised me through His Word. He guaranteed me. And now He could speak to His disciples, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That means I can too, the middle of verse 4. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The only victory we have is faith in Jesus. That's the only victory, because we've already won sin and death. My life is secure. Your life is secure. And the only thing that you have left is faith. And you better not lose faith. Because if you lose faith, you lose Jesus, the Son of God, your Messiah. And you will lose your love of God. Your faith is precious. And you need to hold it, O God. And then he asks a question, verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes, there's that continuation, that Jesus is the Son of God. If you will continue what you responded to, if you will continue to seek what you put your faith in, you're going to be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. How do you know you're born of God? Three foundations tell you, assure you, that you are a born child of God. You practice the righteousness of God. You work on your purity, your holiness. You practice or you love sacrificially your brothers and sisters who too have been born of God. And you continue your faith in Jesus as the Christ by loving God and keeping His Word. That's the foundations. Are you born of God? I pray we are. But you got to go back to look at exactly how you entered Jesus and why. That's where it started. And are you continuing that same measure of faith to this day? I can't answer for you. I can answer for me. But you got to love your brothers. You got to believe in Jesus. You cannot walk away from God's people and say you still love the Lord. That's impossible. John, the witness that sat there that night that heard Jesus speak the words, "You are my witnesses." John says, as a witness of Jesus Christ, this is what's right. And there's nothing else that we need to place it ahead of it. Nothing else. It's not a worldwide thing. It's a God in Christ Jesus thing. And we need to hear it, church.